Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a queer and Latinx podcast where we talk about representation like
Mulan's boyfriend, aka Shang, aka he thought she was a dude.
Yeah, he was into her when he thought she was dude.
I don't know why, but like I like kind of looked into it and there's like actual screenshots from the movie where he's making the same like loving look at her when she's a dude as when she's a chick.
Shout out to him. Maybe he's just like bisexual, dude. Yo, it's like totally a real thing.
The bisexual representation we've all been looking for. Like, we didn't even know it. It was right in front of our eyes.
Shane was like, fuck it. I don't care. I just like you. I don't care if you're like a dude with a ponytail or a chick with a ponytail.
I think he definitely cared.
I mean, he was having like one of those gay existential crises. Like, oh my God, am I into a dude? Like, that's, I've seen the Tumblr like storylines showing that Shane's like having that like, oh my God, I'm into a dude. What do I do?
Go for it is what you do.
He kind of did though, like the whole time he was just flirting with Mulan.
Bray.
What's poppin', Chingona?
What up, cabrona?
So we've been both obsessing over like the same YouTuber lately.
She doesn't need to know that.
I think she's going to know that after this. If you keep tweeting her, she's going to eventually acknowledge your existence. I don't know.
That's not the point of this, right?
Are you sure? I am pretty sure. Hey, California Love 84 girl, what's up? What's popping? We watch all your videos. She might have recently binge-watched all your videos.
Anyways, the reason that this is relevant is because she used to do Glee reactions and is now a proclaimed hater of American Horror Story, and who can blame her?
I mean, I don't. That shit's confusing and odd.
Just the latest one or like all of it?
No. Roanoke was really confusing. Like, when I went on the internet to watch the most recent one, American Horror Story Cult, I accidentally clicked on Roanoke, and dear God, I don't know what the fuck that season was about. Like,
that season, well,
did they parody themselves? Like, I'm so confused.
It's kind of like I guess there's real life shows where they have like the real people who went through these like crimes or whatever, and then they have them like kind of like semi-interview them and have them go over what happened, and then they have actors reenact those crimes. So that's what it was. It was like, it was fucking Inception, essentially.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it was like Inception for like really bad, campy like crime stories. Though,
I mean,
because
like
Ryan Murphy
first
was in it. I was like, is this just a way for him to write? Yes, dude. The very last episode, I was like, that's,
you watched the whole thing?
It's Ryan Murphy.
Or you just like,
I accidentally clicked on that episode, okay, and watched at least 45 minutes of it, which I didn't mean to.
When we decided that we were going to do the Ryan Murphy episode, Ryan Murphy shows in general episode, I kind of looked into it and I was like, okay, what seasons of his shows have the most queer characters? And of American Horror Story, specifically, it was Asylum, it was Hotel, and I think Roanoke. Mm-hmm. But after watching all of Asylum and then watching all of Hotel, I could not do Roanoke.
I don't blame you.
I was like, that's legit enough, dude, because this is like 2 weeks of American Horror Story that I've gone through.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's been tough.
I only watched Asylum.
Asylum wasn't horrible
and
either.
Half a coven.
It's just like the last two episodes were not necessary.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I did watch. I actually really loved the Coven story, even though that was the straightest season of
right?
all. But
I
liked
that
it.
One.
Except for like the ending. Like, he always messes up at the end. It's like at the end, it fizzles out. Like,
yeah. I stopped watching towards the end, so that makes sense. Like whenever the writing started dying off is when I stopped watching.
But American Horror Story, I mean, it's not the only thing he does. You're going to talk about Glee.
Yes, mainly I was going to talk about Glee.
Dude, I'm probably going to definitely chime in there because I have some comments because I watched that shit pretty obsessively when I was younger, before I went to film school, before I knew a lot of things that I know now.
You feel differently now, don't you? It's funny because we both went into this episode with completely different points of view.
And then we kind of swapped. Well, we didn't even change points of views. It's just that like we remembered certain things.
Yes. Yeah. Like I was looking at it with my like fucking social justice eyes and I was like, fuck this motherfucker. But.
And that still stands.
But I gave him a second shot and I looked at the things and I realized, you know, how I felt about Britannia and like.
Back to California, Love 84. if you guys want to know how we kind of feel, she has like a, I think like a 3-part release of Britannia Kraken. Like those 3 videos, like where she reacts to just like, I think like one of the last seasons of Glee, just the Britannia parts, that relatable. Like
she's having like a fucking,
a satanic possession.
Is that what we want to call it?
Like that's what she called it on Twitter.
Epileptic attack. Like, I don't know. Like, but it's awesome. They have all these gifs of her on the internet just like throwing herself back. And it's legit. Like, I love it. I love those gifs of her.
But it's, yeah, it's, so I mean, watch that if you kind of want to know how we feel so that we don't have to spend 10 hours kind of talking about it. But we will definitely delve into it a little bit.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it when we release this episode. So you can go.
Yeah, go on our Twitter and our Instagram.
React to the same things we did.
Definitely.
Because we definitely reacted that exact same way. Like,
probably
in my heart.
Not so, yeah.
I mean, not
inside.
On the inside. Like, I legit wasn't falling over. But in here, in my heart, I was.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I definitely did a lot of squealing, etc. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
we're also gonna talk about American Horror Story quite a bit because that one has there's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot of queer characters.
Glee, there's a lot to talk about, and I'm gonna probably just briefly talk about Scream Queens, just the first season, because fuck that second season, guys, don't even bother. But that whole first season, we'll do.
I didn't even try to watch Scream Queens.
You didn't even try, dude. Like I didn't know it was Ryan Murphy.
I knew it was Ryan Murphy. That's why I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know, and I watched it, and. Okay. I loved it.
You loved it?
That entire first season, even though very specific parts of it pissed me off.
See, this is the thing about Ryan Murphy. Like, either you're into, like, camp, or you accidentally, like, fall and stumble and watch the, like, OJ story, which actually...
I hear it's great.
It's pretty amazing.
I think
he just produced it.
Yeah, well, the thing about the American Crime Story, at least, like, I haven't seen it, but the thing about that too is that all he has to do is follow a literal real story, whereas
you
American Horror Story, Scream Queens, and you can, but with the other three, it's like this has to come from his mind. The other ones, he just has to dramatize.
True.
So,
I guess, yeah.
I mean, that.
I mean,
that's
that story
opinion.
On itself doesn't need that much
right,
added dramatics. I was like, story OJ was like, wow, I'm surprised Ryan Murphy had anything to do with this.
And the
this
timing,
is so
isn't
good.
He like?
Oh, the timing? Perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, history does repeat itself, so, you know, anything in the past just kind of comes back, and it's where we are in American like culture right now, so.
So then I think we should start talking about American Horror Story Cult.
Okay, let's start with that.
Even though we've already spent a few minutes talking about, an overview of everything we're going to talk about, but American Horror Story Cult, I just watched it, 2 or 3 days ago.
Mm.
By the time that this episode's out, the second episode will be out, but we haven't watched the second one because it's not out yet. But
yes.
We're going to talk about, in depth, the first episode of American Horror Story Cult. So, brief overview of that. If you haven't seen like the trailer, brief overview of it, it's this woman.
If you're triggered by clowns, don't fuck with this show, like at all.
If you're triggered by Republicans, don't watch the show.
Oh God. Well,
but yeah, so yeah, it's kind of like, so it's literally based in like a year ago, like.
Oh yeah, no, almost a year.
Almost
ago.
A year ago.
Yeah.
It's like the election night, and you know
where
I'm,
were you election night?
Where was I?
Yeah.
What
were you doing? Like everyone kind of like has an idea of where they were and what they were doing.
I think I was like, I probably got really fucked up because I can't remember.
But you were out drinking.
I think I was at home drinking, and I just remember going to work the next day and like staring daggers at.
Oh, you're
your
Republican.
Oh my God! Yes,
who sits next to you.
Who like
who used to sit next
who
to you,
turns to me and says, "I really didn't think he was gonna win, even though he voted for him." I was like,
God, no.
Yeah.
See, I remember where I was, and I feel like this
I don't,
show.
I think
like,
I really did get like belligerently drunk. I was probably here with Brandon. I don't know if you remember.
Getting drunk, probably.
He's like, "Yep, you were. Yep." Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I feel like this movie starts off in that night, and I think it's really hilarious because it's like showing this like. Liberal American, well, you know, like middle
yeah.
class.
Oh, so you've seen that SNL skit with Homeboy where
Dave Chappelle,
right?
Oh my God, that was
so,
like the only time I watched SNL because
dude,
Dave Chappelle's a magician.
So what's fucking crazy is that normally SNL parodies like shows or real life events, but this time it was backwards. It was like Ryan Murphy went and made that skit into a show.
Yeah, that Dave Chappelle skit where Dave Chappelle is just like laughing at everyone. He's like, oh, like, really? You're shocked?
Oh, you're shocked. Oh, okay. Like, yeah, Hawaii will save him.
Like no. Legit, I was Dave Chappelle watching this. Like, I was like watching this. Like,
I was not, dude.
For real? Like, I was. No, not in real life. The show. Oh, okay. When I was watching American Horror Story Cult.
Oh,
I felt like Dave Chappelle watching it. Like, really? Really? Yeah. Oh, they're so cute and naive. Like, oh, that's adorable. Did they just like cry? I was like, what? Is that what, like, lesbians in Michigan are doing? Are you guys crying? I'm sorry, you guys, if you are.
I'm about to get real spoilery, so maybe like skip forward like 15 minutes.
Yeah, if you
haven't
seen it yet, don't. Yeah, skip ahead.
I would say about 15 minutes. We won't make it last longer than 15 minutes, but.
No, dude. Like, I was sitting in the hood, like.
In the hood.
You know, little Cynthia from the hood. I was just like watching this with my like hood. World is terrible eyes, and I was just kind of like, really?
For me, I
really?
Wasn't
did
like
people really react like this.
I wasn't convinced that Trump was gonna win, but I also wasn't convinced that it would be like a landslide. Like everybody was like, oh, there's no way that he'll even get close. I'm like, I think he'll get close. I think he'll get pretty much close.
See, dude, I took a road trip. Like, I was in San Francisco when it popped off, and we drove from Texas to San Francisco, and let me tell you, that's when I felt like, oh no, he totally has a shot. Because driving through Texas is terrible enough, but literally it didn't stop when we left Texas. It was New Mexico, it was Arizona, it was Nevada. And even California was nothing but Trump science. And it's weird.
That's weird.
When you go through California,
they didn't win.
And you're like, wait a minute. I know there are Republicans here, but yo, like everywhere in Cali? Like, but seriously, from Texas to San Francisco, it was Trump supporters everywhere we
went.
That's
crazy.
That's how I knew, and I was like, it's going to happen.
One of the episodes that kind of helped me a lot after that happened, like, was the episode on Blackish about Trump winning or whatever, where they kind of get this perspective from a lot of white people.
Where they either,
where
it was like, just like, oh yeah, regular day.
My fucking favorite part of that whole episode, I don't know, you guys should go and see it yourselves, but my favorite part was when the white woman in like his like little conference room was asked like, why didn't white women come out for Hillary like black people came out for Obama? She was just like, because we fucking hate each other. We hate ourselves. Like, and I was just like, what the fuck? Are you fucking kidding? I don't know. So that it was just like an eye-opening episode, and I thought it was amazing. I got like some. I tweeted about it and got some like backlash on it. I was like, I never get backlash. Usually, everybody thinks my opinions are A1. I'm just kidding. No, they don't.
No, but. I watched. I listened to Latino USA, like because they got the immediate reactions.
I cannot wait to hear their.
They already had an episode on DACA.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that, and I also want to hear In the Thick episode.
Oh,
with
Cristela?
With Cristela.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude,
I'm gonna be listening
to
that tomorrow.
Go listen to that shit right now, right after this.
I don't have a commute anymore, so that's really the main time that I would listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. But I have to force myself to do it now because I have like no time.
I'm like a dedicated listener to In the Thick.
I have all time in the world, but I have no time.
Those are like the two ones I'm dedicated to, other than Latino Solange. Like, it's those other two. It's like In the Thick.
Don't get me wrong. I love being informed. Podcast, but a lot of the times I go for entertainment.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
But
that's where I get
I still want to, even though I prefer to read when it comes to like political stuff and stuff like that, but I will make an exception for this DACA stuff, and especially with Cristela talking, because I admire her, etc. So we'll see how that goes.
She's amazing.
We strayed off topic. So American Horror Story Cult.
Yes.
It's like super.
This all goes back to the moment of that night, the opening scene to American Horror Story Cult.
It packages itself as like such a political thing, but at the end of the day, it's like, no, it's really just dramatizing and it's like trying to show the ridiculousness of hardcore Trump supporters and hardcore people that are ignorant about white supremacy and hatred in the world, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like
ignorant or naive, because I feel like they're just naive.
Yeah, naive might be a better word for it.
This is like
definitely.
Them living in this like liberal bubble that they never
I didn't know that existed in Michigan, but I guess
a lot of there's a lot of liberal bubbles though. Like, you'll go to places and they'll be like, I don't understand. I'm like, I do. Like, I live in Texas,
and it's still more diverse than some of these other places, you know what I mean?
But for the fact that, like, you know, even in a place that's so diverse, you still meet people who are like Trump supporters that, like, I understand Trump supporters, not that I understand, but like I expect ignorance from people out in Bodunk Nowhere who've never met people different from them, but from the cities, that's where I think it's weird that I see Trump supporters, because
yeah, they actually, it is weird, see to people, see them here,
interact with them on a daily, like my coworker too. So this scene is just like, and the whole like show is kind of like a parody of like naivety, of naive liberal middle class shit, and it's just like me watching it like going, oh, that's fucking cute, but I mean, yeah, really? Like, Obama wasn't always president. Before that, it was 8 years of Bush.
See, dude, this is what would be, like, so
that's awesome. Why I think it's, like, a liberal bubble, and it's, like, a parody of liberals, and it's kind of, like...
Dude, I'm telling you, it would be so awesome.
I feel like this is, like, an inside joke for, like, I don't know, like, white liberal America. Like, Cynthia in the Hood is, like, laugh, like, okay, yeah, you win a Vassar, I get the joke, but... Who are you speaking to here? You know?
Dude, you're getting so much political stuff out of this, but the show itself isn't that political. That's like the kind of what bothered me.
It's, yeah, like, it's more about clowns and PTSD.
Yeah, it was just like, like he's just trying to get the views. You know what I mean? He's like not actually making a real comment. You know what I mean? He's just making fun of everything as a whole. Like,
yeah, it's making fun it's of both just, sides.
And maybe that would be okay at some point, but not right now.
Yeah.
Like, is it okay? Like right now, we're still trying to find like this. I guess way to be okay with everything, or try,
I feel
way
like
to
he's
fight
focusing
things.
On people that I don't give a fuck about, honestly.
Yeah, and like, I mean, like, and then they make it seem like, okay, Trump is, as much as I don't like the fucking dude, but like they make it seem like he's the whole reason that Sarah Paulson's character is breaking out and having crazy like a mental illness like breakdown.
Yeah,
but I'm like,
not...
she just has a mental illness. Like,
yeah, it's not.
She's just struggling. She just needs to like, you know, work on herself and stuff. Like. You know, I don't know. So there's
a disconnect there's, between who he's speaking to and who we are, I guess.
There's
definitely for me.
It has issues. You know what I mean? Like, there's a great article on Autostraddle that kind of delves into it a lot that you guys should read if you're interested in kind of seeing where it fails and where it does well. And of course, we're going to talk about it right now. So
yeah,
but it's yeah. I mean, we could talk about politics forever, especially you, since you're like a poli sci person.
Yeah,
but. You know, it's just
no. I guess, like, for me, just like my goggles, like who I am as a human being, it didn't speak to me, and I thought it was just like, wow, I just felt like Dave Chappelle the whole time. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, so, I mean, am like, I supposed to feel sorry for her because she has like a,
I mean, yeah.
People have that, you know.
Yeah,
people
I
live
do,
with it,
I do,
and they make it happen every day. So I'm kind of like,
I do kind of, you know, feel for them in that way. That's totally fine. But I think one of the great points of the show, or that shows points of the show that could have been great. Is when she's talking about her Guatemalan housekeeper who like goes missing. She's just like, my housekeeper's missing, and it basically becomes her problem because she's missing, but not because she like is understanding what the real victims are going through.
It's not because they actually focused on her housekeeper either. They just fucking talked about her like she was like a fucking
no. Like they still made it Sarah Paulson's character's problem. You know what I mean? Like you're just having like a bit of a mental breakdown due to your mental illness, but like this person literally had to leave their home, or maybe something worse happened to her that night.
Yeah.
She has no idea what happened to this housekeeper, but I promise you, it was way worse than anything that'll happen to a middle class like white woman. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, who has a very nice life.
Yeah, I honestly, he should have done a fucking episode on the Guatemalan housekeeper. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he will. Who knows? It's only one episode, but I really doubt it.
I highly doubt it.
And then the whole scene with that guy threw a condom filled of piss at the migrant
workers. Oh my God.
So
he was clearly, he's doing what a lot of people have done. So in that part, I didn't completely hate, because he was doing what a lot of Trump supporters have been doing, where they
incite violence on themselves and record it.
Yeah, like that one dude that like fucking tagged his own truck with like Black Lives Matter or something like that.
Black lives are cool, or
no,
it was like the wackest thing that
he put,
would say.
Right, something he put something like he tagged his own truck and then said, "Oh, somebody came and tagged my truck." Like, no, and then he got caught. It was him. He
that
did
one
it.
Guy who like hurt himself and then said someone of color did it. And it's like
no, dude, you're just being
he later
fucking
admitted
asshole.
That he did it to himself, and I was like,
yeah.
What?
Or that fucking couple that went around like a little kid's like birthday party with the guns and a truck, and then they got like arrested.
Dude,
you're like threatening children.
Yeah,
for, just can't. Because what? Just because what? Like, you love the Confederacy? Dude, you weren't even alive. Shut up.
Yeah. I don't even know.
We are really getting that. Like heated.
But fuck Trump.
Yeah, so I mean, the other, let's see what else happened in this episode. I actually love Billie Lourd. A lot. She was in she's the one that plays Winter, the girl that comes to become
the babysit.
Yeah. So
what's her deal?
even though I like her, I don't...
What's her deal?
I don't think it makes sense at all that she's, like, this hardcore Hillary fan who, like, dropped out of school to help Hillary get elected and then does a complete 180 when her brother, like, does a pinky promise or some shit.
He covers his face in cheesy puffs.
In Cheeto puffs.
I mean, I get but...
Like, it's like, too satirical, almost. I don't know. I don't know what he was aiming for, but it makes no sense that she would completely, like, be so upset that she would turn it around and start basically being a psychopath killer.
Is he saying that, like... I mean, I just don't get his commentary yet. Like, I don't want to, like, delve into what I think it could be until I see.
I do.
Okay.
I want to delve into what I think.
What do you
think? I literally just think that he's just taking the extremes of each side. And I don't mean extremes...
No, I'm talking about, like, this specific thing about Winter. I was like, oh, is he making a commentary on how white
that
women
part, I just, like,
don't,
said, I don't
stand up for each other, and then at the first point of something going wrong that they're going to turn back?
That part I don't understand at all. I think he...
That's what I thought he was going with it. I was like, you know, okay, they said that white women lost the election, so is this him saying it's their fault? I mean, to me, I'm watching this like, yeah, it's these bitches' faults, all of them. No, like,
if he was making that comment, I don't think it was with that specific
character.
I don't
think he intended to do that. That's what I'm getting out of it,
because
that's again,
I don't know. I think that, or at least I hope that he, like, makes it clear that Winter's character is just, like, some kid that's also mentally ill. Because,
okay. All right.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
That's
she's just doing
up
a 180.
To hope that someone's mentally ill because they're
no,
that
yeah,
choices.
I don't like.
That's
I think
that
it's just because that's
I
the
hope
only.
She's just fucked up. I don't want to blame it on mental illness. I hope that bitch is just. Something.
I mean,
she's just stupid.
Yeah, or whatever. She could be traumatized. You never know. Whatever. Whatever it is, the point is that I don't want it to be like he's trying to say that every hardcore liberal is gonna, like, turn to a psychopath killer Trump
just
supporter.
Their family is crazy.
Yeah, like, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, everyone's family's crazy. It's okay.
So we'll see where that goes, I guess. The clowns. We just talk about the clowns. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's a Purge ripoff. I think it's a Purge ripoff.
Purge was way better.
Yeah. Obviously, because it was put in, like, a whole context. It's like I think he does this every now and then in his seasons where he has, like, a side storyline that ties in at the very end. But
it
throughout
makes no sense
while you're going along, yeah, you could at least, I don't know, I think you could do a little bit better at tying it into the current story, or at least wait till closer to the end to bring it up or something. Mm-hmm. Because right now it's like, the fuck are these clowns doing here? Like,
when didn't he have a whole episode on it for the circus season of American
the freak
Horror
show
freak
see
show.
I didn't even bother with Freak Show.
I watched, like, the first episode, but since I hate clowns, I couldn't really get through it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Freaks me the fuck out.
And then, you know, Allie and Ivy, which is the lesbian couple, which is Sarah Paulson and what's her face,
they're
other
so
chick.
They're so cute in their naivety. Like,
they're cute, but they're also boring. Like, how much character do they really have? Like, what's really explained to them? Especially the one that's, like, kind of like the butch one or whatever. Has
one
no person. She has no personality.
The alternative
yeah.
lifestyle haircut
with the Ellen ripoff hair. Yeah, it's just Ellen.
I mean, it's cool, I guess, because he's centering lesbians, but
it's not supposed to be cool. It's like he did it in a very superficial way. It's
yeah,
like it's like he threw them in there,
like,
but there's
great,
no reason
look,
for
lesbians
it.
Lesbians is how they deal with everything. They talk about it. They're good to each other. I'm like, that's cute, but no one cares. Like,
yeah,
I don't give a fuck about them.
And then real quick, we can talk about Kai, which is Cheeto Puff Boy.
Oh, that's his name. Okay,
his name's Kai. So this dude, Cheeto like, Puff. Honestly, like, I think it would. It's almost not realistic, because, like, you and me were talking about our experiences with certain, like, Republican people that we've come across, and it's subtle, right? Like, these people are nice to us, they talk to people of color, they talk to queer people, everything's good and fine and dandy, but then they go and vote for Trump,
and
they stand
actively
for him hard.
Vote for people who take away our rights.
See, I think that's
and
more
then
scary.
Smile in our face.
I think that's scarier, like, to somebody that's, like, puts on a face and then goes and basically tells you to go fuck yourself in a political way. So... And then you have Kai, who's just, like, hardcore, like, in your face. Like, you know what to expect from him. You know he's, like, a psychopath. You know, I think subtlety would have been better.
I think what everyone's having trouble with as far as covering politics now is that the reality is just so much more interesting and crazy and scary than any fucking show will ever be. So,
and should we be portraying that reality while we're in it? You know what I mean? I'm like, how can we look at something that's currently happening to
exactly, us. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. You can't write something scarier than reality. And the reality is just what we see.
Oh, dude, the last thing that I want to talk about in Cult is the Changs. Like, literally...
Oh, problematic.
So this entire thing is, like, it lacks people of color all across the board. It has like no people of color except for the Changs,
migrant workers or housekeepers. Again,
and even them, it's like, do they even have a name? Like, they didn't even get a name. But the Changs did, and they were in the very first fucking episode. Like,
he got mad
scene.
As fuck at that bitch.
And he's all pissed off. Like, that's the other thing. Like, they kind of point out, they're like, they kind of call out third party voters and they call out non voters.
It definitely called out third party voters and non voters. I like that. But
yeah, and then she was all upset about Trump winning and wanted Hillary to win, but she voted for a third party. I'm like, what are you doing? So, but yeah, anyways, they have this like Asian couple who are like the only semi prominent people of color in the entire series. They're the only ones, and then they go and like kill them. They like, what are you even trying to do? Like, he didn't even try this season. I feel like previously he's tried to have people of color. This time it was just like no fucks given. So if you're looking for minority representation in Ryan Murphy's show, good fucking luck. But yeah,
good luck finding in anything else he's ever written that isn't a fucking stereotype. Like, good luck. Honestly, yeah. can you think of one? Other horror stories. Can you think of any? You watch.
Well, let's go over the other horror stories. Let's see. I only watched Asylum and I watched Hotel, and I was gonna watch Rona because they're the ones that have multiple queer characters. I didn't even try to look for POCs because what's the point? It's Ryan Murphy.
Exactly. So, yeah. So you get what I'm saying.
He's so lucky that he has Angela Bassett.
I don't know how he did and, it. So Maite, what were the other horror stories again that you watched?
Asylum? I watched Asylum and I watched Hotel. So we'll talk about Asylum first. This is actually notably, like, most people say that this is one of the better seasons, and I know you watched it.
I watched a good amount of it.
So that one starts out with like what's his face in an interracial relationship. But it's back in the day where you can't do that legally or whatever, or like, or it's looked frowned down upon or something like that.
No, it was like out in Bodog Nowhere in like the 50s, before that love case that the one they made a movie about.
Oh yeah, recently.
Before it became
with
legal.
Ruth Negga or yes. Whatever. Yeah. So the interracial couple lived in secrecy or whatever because America's ridiculous. And then separately there was Sarah Paulson's character with Clea DuVall, who also lived in secrecy, or they were gal pals living together.
Gal pals.
So that happened, but I do kind of like, the one thing I will give him the slightest bit of credit for is that Sarah Paulson has played a queer character like 3 times now, which is cool.
Shout out to that. At least he has a real queer person playing a queer person.
Yeah.
Shout out to that.
And she's a great actress. Yep. Jessica Lange. So Jessica Lange gets portrayed
the other one
as like this like sexually active woman, you know what I mean? So that's kind of cool. Like, they're not being ageist about it.
Yeah, but she's like hot for old lady. Like, but Angela Bassett is way hotter.
Oh, duh. But
facts. But like, they're both hot for old ladies. Shout out to them.
Well, they're like older women, and they're not portrayed as like bereft of like sexuality. You know what I mean? That's kind of cool. Because you don't like lose all of your.
We give them points
everything.
For that. Yeah.
There's some little points there.
So, you have like a queer storyline, you know.
Kind of. I mean, it's like they basically kill off Clea DuVall in the first couple episodes.
Yeah. But
and then she gets raped later. It's not that great.
Oh, that was so, I mean, Game of Thronesy and unnecessary.
There's a lot of like
unnecessary
bad,
shit.
Like there was good parts to it, like, you know, whatever, older women can be sexual too, and etc. Interracial relationship, queer relationship, blah blah. But then it gets like, and the rest of it is all like rape,
problematic
and bad. Yeah, so yeah. It's no good.
He's a good balance of like making something like, wow, you're gonna make it about lesbians and you're gonna have like. People
it was
of color and interracial couples, yeah. And then you're totally gonna fucking kill them all.
Okay, so just a few things that I want to point out in Asylum as well is Chloe Savigny is in it, and she's portrayed as like this super slutty person or whatever. And then they kind of bring up the topic later on in the series about slut shaming. She's like, just because like I'm not ashamed of being, you know, wanting sex or whatever, like, you guys are demonizing me and saying all this shit about me. And then they threw me in this, like, you know, basically,
asylum.
Yeah, this asylum because of that. Like, because of something that is
she's sexually liberated.
Yeah, because it's something that today, like, of course you're not going to go to to the asylum for that, just as you would not go for being queer.
But they used to do that to women back in the day, like, yeah, you know,
every now and again. Yeah,
if women even like felt like a little bit emotionally overwhelmed, they'd be like, oh, the bitch crazy, honey, yeah, take her to the asylum. Fucking, yeah, like if crazy. The dude was just like, yo bitch, I'm just trying to cheat on you, like, and then they put her in there, they could call, they used to always commit their like wives, and they're like, you're bitch, you're emotional. Like now it's just like normal, like human beings feel.
Yeah, like back in the women day, are not like for, you know, purely objects for you.
Yeah, but
anymore.
They definitely were, you know, like
they were treated as such.
That's
but
how
they
were
not,
treated, excuse
they
me.
They were treated that way. Yeah, they touch upon like how they used to try to change gay people, or you know, like make them straight or whatever, and all
that.
These kind of crazy techniques. Yeah, they do
still do that,
but like back then it was just like
so real.
But back then, like, she got thrown into an asylum, insane asylum, for being queer, and then he tried to treat her, and they tried to portray him as like,
oh,
this
God.
Good psychiatrist who's like only gonna do it if she consents.
Shout out to his acting, that shit was so believable. I was so scared of him.
Yeah, homeboy's great, and he's also openly queer.
He's
and
queer in
him.
Real life. Shout out
what's
to him.
What's his fucking name? Zachary Quinto.
Yes.
So he's great. He uses him a lot too. And later on in the series, whenever he thought that his like wife, his first wife was dead,
mm-hmm.
and then he went to the insane asylum and then like fell in love with that girl and then got her pregnant. So whenever Alma comes back, like, they kind of explored the ins and outs of having, like, a polyamorous relationship. So that was kind of interesting thing that they brought into
Another
Asylum.
Thing that's like, wow, I can't believe you did that. But then it's like, God.
But
damn.
Then, like, there's a lot of
the ways
death.
They did Sarah Paulson's
then they all died.
Episode.
Like, I don't know.
I mean, Sarah Paulson's character that season, I was just like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, the whole time I was just pissed.
Even though at the end she does like,
I guess,
yeah, she like that. She's like a super successful like reporter, and she like is dating a woman openly finally, and kills Bloody Face. I actually kind of like Sarah Paulson's whole thing and how she admits that she was like did some horrible things and stuff like that.
No, yeah,
but everybody was, there was so many problematic parts of that show.
It's just the way they did her character. I like the whole season, and then at the end she's supposed to be just like normal, cool, and I'm like,
and then
frustrating.
I'm not even gonna go into like the whole is it about aliens or is it about religion thing, or is it about,
I was totally into the alien thing though.
Yeah,
I was
like,
fuck with
I
aliens,
wish that
man.
I wish they'd done more of it, because they made it out to be,
yeah,
like this religious thing at first, or like there's a demon, or like the demon,
yeah,
is coming down to get you,
more
or whatever.
Into that. Like, that's what drew me in, honestly, is that first episode with the aliens. I was like,
I would have been cool if they stuck to the whole demons thing, because he was like, demons or aliens? And then he was like, both. So, I don't know.
Yeah, they needed to make up their minds. That felt.
If you're going
to
do something alien-y, like, go completely
go
the fourth kind
ham
on
that
them.
Shit.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
They could have really done that shit.
Fucking E.T. the fuck out of it or something. Not just, like.
Yeah. So, it like, it's, like, a common thing with all his, like, series or whatever. It's, like, this is a great concept. And he just doesn't pull through, I don't know.
As per usual.
Yeah.
As per usual.
So next, I'll kind of go over Hotel. What was cool about this season for me was, mm-hmm. that they had not only queer characters, but queer people playing those queer characters. I was like, yes, queen.
Yes, queen.
They had Matt Bomer, Sarah Paulson, as always, because he always has Sarah Paulson. And I can't remember who else, a few other people. So they do a few things with this season. They like talk down anti-vaxxers, which are the worst.
Oh God.
But of course he's like really into savage shit, like having rape and murder in the first episode. So there's that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't watch this
there
one.
He is. But Lady Gaga, which is, I think was like his desperate attempt at some point to like
make her an actor,
get queer people to watch this up. It was good because, like, yeah, this was a pretty queer season of American Horror Story, and they had Lady Gaga, so perfect.
I mean, that makes sense.
And
she's
proclaimed herself as a bisexual, and she was bisexual on the show, so that's,
yes,
kind of cool.
Yes, even the whole Angela Bassett thing,
kind of a bad representation of bisexualness though. At the end of the day, I think they had other characters that were a little.
There was an interview that they did with Angela Bassett, and I feel like she really kind of overdid how, like, she was like, well, you know, we just made out for the TV show. It's I'm not gay.
So she no-homoed it?
She no-homoed the fuck out of it.
Because,
like,
twice. Like, calm down.
And it wasn't even, like, you know, like, you know, it wasn't even, like, a real kiss.
It was
kiss.
Weak.
It was a TV kiss. Like, I'm getting paid to kiss you, so I guess. And it's, yeah, like, bitch, you didn't have to act that grossed out. Like, you're an amazing actress. Like, you've kissed people I'm sure you don't hate. like, I'm sure you hate, probably. Yeah. But do you hate Lady Gaga? Like, what's the issue?
Like, it's all acting, duh. We don't think you're in love with Lady Gaga, even though the rest of us are.
I mean, exactly. And my love for her...
Has it dwindled?
It's in and out, you know?
But yeah, like, basically, yeah. So Angela Bassett's character is Ramona Royale. So not only is she one of the queer characters, she's really one of the only people of color in the show, which is really, once again, a fucking issue with Ryan Murphy. She was... Like, I'm trying to think of what other character was POC, and the only ones were the ones that were her story's side characters, which is, like, her parents and some dude she fell in love with. Like, that's it. Those were the POCs. And Ramona Bassett was maybe in, like, 2 or 3 episodes prominently. That's pretty much fucking it. And the whole time she's just, like, has a huge vendetta against Lady Gaga. So it wasn't even, like, a love story between them. It was just, like, I hate Lady Gaga for what she did. And, yeah. But Lady Gaga was portrayed as, like... having sexual relationships with multiple women.
Shout out to
that. But it never really seemed like she truly loved them. I will say that. Except for Liz Taylor, but that was not sexual.
No.
But I'll get into that. Chloe Sevigny is in this one too. And like there's a little storyline where Lady Gaga's character forces Chloe Sevigny to like be her servant essentially. Or like she turns her into like what she is, which is like some sort of like vampire-esque thing.
You see my face right now?
Yeah, you look disgusted. It's weird. Yeah, like she basically takes her as a servant because she's also taken her son, and I don't know, it's kind of weird. Really, the only thing about Lady Gaga's character at all that I liked in this season is her relationship with Liz Taylor. I'm gonna just go ahead and go into that.
Okay.
Liz Taylor is a transgender woman.
Oh shit, shout out to that.
And the only good storyline in the whole thing, like,
thank
honestly
God.
It comes later in the season, so you kind of have to hold out for that. But yeah, Liz Taylor, like, was they go into her backstory where she's still like living and presenting herself as a man, and she has like a wife and kids, or wife and kid, I think she just had like one son. And she goes on like, she has to go on business trips a lot because of work, and she went into like her hotel room where she would go and she would finally dress up as a woman. And basically that was the best time of her life, like it was what she lived for, to go and be alone in a hotel room every now and again.
Oh.
Yeah, so
sadness.
She ends up at the Hotel Cortez, which is the American Horse Race Hotel. Oh, that was one thing that I kind of liked about that whole season. If you're into like American like horror, like true crime type of shit, they have a lot of references, like Jeffrey Dahmer, fucking a shitload of fucking different ones. I'll name them later, but that was kind of cool. But yeah, she goes to the Hotel Cortez, which is based on a real hotel, and that's where she meets Lady Gaga's character, and Lady Gaga helps her come into her own, and she's just like, no, like, go out in public, be yourself, like, does her makeup and all this other shit. And she goes out and she's like, you don't have to do much, like, just go dressed up, just go get some ice. And she's like, okay. So she goes and gets some ice, and on her way back with the ice, Liz Taylor runs into some coworkers, and the coworkers of course are like homophobic assholes, so they're like start calling her all kinds of like gay slurs and like, what's wrong with you, blah blah blah. And she's pissed off, and they kill them, which I was like,
I'm down good for that.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Cool.
I was completely okay with it. Like, yeah, kill the homophobes. I'm fine with that. That's great.
You know, violence is never the answer, but that's.
But this is, I mean, if you're gonna kill a shitload of people, you might as well kill them.
The fuck.
And I mean, they are. But the owner, the original owner of the Hotel Cortez, is James March, and I think that's based off of a real life killer. And who else? There's Jeffrey Dahmer, there's Richard Ramirez, there's John Gacy? Is that his name?
The clown dude, right?
I guess. John Wayne Gacy.
The pedophile.
Yeah, the dude that would like lead it, like bring in dudes or whatever. Basically a shitload of them. Every Halloween night, I think it is, they all would come to the Hotel Cortez and have like a meeting or whatever. Yeah. It was weird.
They had a meeting?
Or like a party, which is like a celebration of all the great American killers and shit like that.
What the fuck?
So if you're into true crime, this actually might really be worth watching, as much as, you know, as all as every single one of the shows has problematic nature. I will say that, but this is worth watching for those references alone, because I had just like binge listened to And That's Why We Drink, so I recognize like 90% of these killers.
Don't do that, by the way, because I heard like a fucking...
I did it. I love it.
Dude, no, I live in the hood and it's scary, okay? So it's different. Like,
dude, I wasn't scared like anywhere after listening to that, but I will say when I went to Florida and I went to a hotel, I freaked out a little bit at some noises that I was hearing. A little bit.
No, dude, I heard noises and I was like,
I woke up and I told my family. I was like, there's
what's going on? I'm gonna die.
Yeah, I woke up and I told my family that like the hotel living room was haunted, and then they're like laughing at me, and then like I later went to the yeah, because that's how they are. And later went to the restroom and I'm like peeing, and like I start hearing like some like weird like taps at the door, and I'm just like, fuck you on. Like, and then like they continue, and I'm just like, finish my fucking business like as quietly as I can, and like I go to the door and like open it, and like all I hear is my mom start bust out laughing. I was like, what the fuck.
Your mom is awesome, dude.
I was like, what the hell are you doing? She's like, oh, it's your ghost, it's not me. And she's like,
oh my god.
I'm like, what? She's, you know what the fuck ever. I was mad.
That's so awesome of her.
It really was haunted, I believe it, because my nephew kept waking up too. Okay, she can be awesome and it can be a haunted, it's fine.
No, she's just awesome.
It's fucking haunted. But anyways, let's see. And then polyamory also comes up in this season with Sally's character, which is Sarah Paulson once again. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she like falls in love with a pair of musicians so much that she literally like, they get really high and then she sews herself to them and they die.
What the fuck? See, that's,
it's fucking crazy. Yeah.
That's why I don't watch this shit.
Oh, another part of the Liz Taylor story that I didn't mention is that she's the only one that gets, even though everybody kind of dies, but they come back as ghosts in the hotel or whatever. So Liz Taylor, the transgender character, is one of the only ones that has like the loveliest love story.
Thank God.
Yeah, you're gonna fucking love that shit if you decide to watch it. I think that's the end of my fucking
American Horror Story. I might just watch it just because of the whole list.
The hotel, like, yeah. Surprisingly, was the easiest for me to watch.
Really?
Yeah.
Coven was the shit, too.
I loved Coven, but I didn't even finish it. But I watched it.
Oh, no, I haven't finished any of these seasons.
This is the first time that I had to force myself, and it was hard, dude. Like,
they start off so good, right?
At first, you're just like, goddamn, goddamn, goddamn. And then you're just like, that's too many storylines. That's enough. Calm down.
Yeah, he tries to really just take too much of what's happening in current day America and apply it. And I'm like, that's cute, but
like, he went so far this time with Cole. He went so far.
Too many different things at the same time, boo. Like, just pick three things and go. Everything else, boom.
Let's fucking end this off with like some good shit, because Glee has a lot of fucking problems, but it was generally like,
can we talk about the like beauty and like the one thing that kept me kind of sane?
The Britannia storyline was literally the saving grace of this show and actually caught me off guard. I had no idea that was gonna happen.
What do you mean? You were not part of the people shipping the fuck out of them since season one,
dude? Okay, yes and no, but like I was so accustomed to like, oh my god, these two people look great together, they'd be great together, but it never happens. So I just, when it actually happened, I was like, what? You know what I mean? And then, like, even though it's kind of shitty that, like, whatever, they're both, like, dating around with all these dudes first, it's also kind of a realistic thing that used to happen, or kind of happens still with a lot of queer people in high school, where they're just like, no, I just haven't found the right guy. I haven't found the right guy. They keep going. These feelings for my chick friend are not real. They keep going. And then they're like, shit, I'm in love with my best friend. So that's real.
No, I love this fucking queer storyline, just because, like, I think Ryan Murphy is problematic, and I have a lot of strong feelings about what he does and what he doesn't do, but this he did do right.
Like, just that one.
Literally only
the rest of Glee, like, is questionable. I wouldn't say all of it is trash.
No, I love it, but it's trash.
Honestly, what's fucking weird is that I started watching Glee because of Kurt's character. Because there wasn't very many out characters on network TV,
and
that
even less out Latina characters in TV.
Yeah,
period. So you weren't going up to First Santana. You're going to,
well, because that hadn't been introduced yet when I started watching it, mm-hmm. And Kurt was the only, and I thought he was adorable for the first two seasons only, and after that he got really annoying.
Yeah, his character.
Yeah, his character.
I love the actor. No, dude, I went in watching it just because I like show tunes.
See, I don't. I was like, I'm a hardcore
50-year-old woman. I fucking love show tunes. I love music. So I was like, yes, they're doing that one song from 1930.
I love music, but I have never been into musicals ever.
Girl, you.
Yeah, but then Glee made it very bearable for me. I'll say that.
I just liked it because it was like, you know, it was just like karaoke for me. Like, I was just going through singing. And I was like, yes, they get it. They get all this shit I do. So I connected to the music the most, and then to have like these queer characters, them hinting at it, you know, and I was like, wait, I caught that, and then the internet caught that,
and then there was maybe, you know, like, there was
actually a lot of internet culture, and that's why I love watching it, because everyone on the internet, everyone on Tumblr, was obsessed the way I was about Britney.
They did stay a little current, and they actually had a couple of people of color. They had Tina, who's Asian.
But she was, like, a token character.
Well, her, and then they also had her boyfriend, who was, like, an amazing dancer.
I fucking love him.
He was cool. And then they have, oh my god, I'm slipping on the name.
Who?
I'm gonna look it up on IMDb.
Mercedes?
Mercedes.
Oh my god, I love Mercedes.
Was the best fucking singer.
That shit should have been about her. Like, she should have been the Rachel. Honestly, that girl got range. That girl has voice. The voice has talent, charisma. Like, what the fuck is wrong with them? Mercedes was the best fucking most talented person on that show versus no one. The bitch just did that shit.
And the third and my favorite motherfucking POC person, Santana.
Which Santana. I have feelings about that too.
Naya Rivera. Well,
because, like, okay, thank you, Ryan Murphy, for showing, like, a Latina.
Stereotypes.
Who has, like, you know, religion. And those things are true and real. Like, her having that conversation with her grandma about coming out and her grandma not accepting her. Super important. Super real. A real fear in our community. But seriously, why she gotta be so fucking sassy all the time? Why she gotta be a bitch all the time? I love that shit. Don't get it fucked up. I love that shit. She used to fucking read people everywhere, and I love that shit. But at the same time, she was such a living, breathing stereotype. It was so fucking annoying. And a dumb blonde and his girlfriend, both of them were living stereotypes. But I like that they fell in love with each other.
He must have gotten called out on that, like, during that season and realized it, because then he went and turned, like, Britney's character into genius, and then Santana into this person with a real heart. You know what I mean?
I mean, character arc.
See, I think the reason that whole thing with Santana never bothered me is because I knew someone that was Santana.
Shout out to all the real Santanas out there.
Yeah, like, so I knew someone, like, in real life that was Santana. Like, she dated around with a lot of dudes. She even got pregnant and had, like, a kid. And then, like, later realized the reason that I've been a bitch to every single person that I ever come across is because I was unhappy with myself. And then she came out and she's been, like, a kind, great person ever since.
I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just saying, like,
see, maybe I think that's why I could
diverse Latina characters other than just, like, had there been maybe two other characters that are also Latina and nothing like her, I'd be so happy. Or just one more who was different from the way Santana was, because there are Santanas out there and I love them, but there are also other ways to be.
Yeah,
and I think that's what I wanted to see.
It's that same argument that you can kind of make for anything. It's like, you can't, if you're gonna have only one queer person, don't make them a complete stereotype.
Yes.
So if you want to make them a complete stereotype, you better have like 10 other fucking queer characters. But
that they are did, not living
they did bring in quite a few queer characters, which is why I think Kurt became a little more acceptable, because then you had Darren, Chris's character.
I hated Blaine's character.
Really? I didn't hate him.
I was at the time so annoyed by Blaine's character.
And then
go away, Blaine. I get it. You can sing, but guess what? You're not Mercedes. Okay, so sit down, boo. Like, I just felt like he was an annoying storyline. So.
Yeah, a lot of people weren't into it.
And then Tina stopped completely talking, so.
I hated that.
She was just a token Asian. And I was like, what the fuck, man? Ryan, what the fuck? Like, I get it. I do want to see Britana, and thank you for giving me that. I appreciate that.
I did like Harry Shum's.
I love Harry Shum.
His storyline was kind of cool, because he's like, he really wants to be a dancer, and like, he kind of talks about, you know, like, me and you have talked about this before, how like in our households, or at least in my household, where they didn't necessarily want you to go into like a creative type of career, and that's kind of how his family was, where it was like, no, you shouldn't do that, become a doctor, become
rebellion
a lawyer
against your immigrant parents. Yeah, that's very real.
Not rebellion necessarily, it's just like,
well, for us it feels like rebellion.
Yeah,
and not the good kind,
right? It feels like a betrayal or something.
Disappointing your parents.
Right, yeah. So, or it's just basically it brought up the expectation and how hard it is for people of color sometimes to be to become creators as opposed to like
following this,
yeah,
this path that they had decided for.
So that's why I like Harry Shum's storyline. Tina's storyline was kind of boring. Yeah,
no, that's what I'm saying. Harry Shum had a good storyline, but Tina didn't. I was just kind of like, what is happening here? And I get it, like, he was trying to tackle like 27 themes, like he does as per usual, can't find a focus, and then ends up doing, of course, half of it wrong. Getting Britannia right and literally everything else wrong.
They had, I mean, there's other things that you can kind of talk about in Glee, like the later on in the seasons, they had a character,
you know,
that was in the beginning, but yeah, and then later on they had a genderqueer character. That was kind of cool. I was kind of like big on Glee back then. So I would watch, like, they had an extra show. It was kind of like a reality show where they tried to cast like new characters or whatever, and they would compete. Yeah, I was that into it.
I watched it.
But honestly, that reality show was better than like the last couple seasons of the show.
Facts. Itself. So. Facts. Way better. I stopped watching once Supergirl got cast. Nothing wrong with her. It's not her fault.
It was her character's fault. Her
character's fault. So but boring. She didn't write her character, so I ain't blaming her.
Yeah, I don't blame
I just stopped watching it when Marley came on. I was like, I can't do this. I'm sorry.
Those new characters were so, scenes. Like, I feel like those new characters were like an attempt at, like, for one, getting
elongating
people,
their ratings.
Elongating the series in general, and then also, like, they knew that these other characters needed to graduate ASAP because they look 30.
Yeah.
So there's that. You have anything else to say on Glee?
Well, the only thing I want to add is that, like, Britannia meant a lot to me when I was in the closet.
Release the Britannia Kraken. Parts 1, 2, and 3. California Love 84.
I'm releasing it right now.
On YouTube.
Like, they mean the world to me just because at a time when I didn't feel like I could be myself, Ryan Murphy created these two characters and a Latina character where they showed her struggling with her identity. And I really appreciated that, even though I wasn't struggling with my identity, but I was definitely struggling to come out. And that show actually really helped me as a person figure out my identity and not feel so fucking hung up on it anymore. So for that, I'm really grateful to Ryan Murphy. He's done a lot of things wrong, but he's definitely helped this little queer girl figure it out. So I'm forever grateful for Britannia. Because it really helped me.
It was a little, like, it came out from, it was in 2009 to 2015, so I was already kind of done with that journey.
No,
but coming
out to my family thing was okay. What I mean. Not so much even my identity. But
even in that kind of place, I kind of have, even to this day, kind of have the same feelings when it comes to coming out to my family. So I can't say that I'm...
It's helped.
Yeah, I don't think it has. But I've definitely enjoyed seeing that whole storyline because there, you know, recently, like, there's been a bit of an influx of lesbian characters and bisexual characters on TV, but
back then it was
Britannia, so I love that storyline for that reason. Like, yeah, any screen time for Brittany or Santana, I was like, give me more. But that was just for entertainment purposes.
For me, it was like, I'm forever grateful for that, and I have Britannia in my heart forever, so I will go down with that ship forever.
I will go down with this ship. Anyways.
I don't know the rest of the words.
I love the first season of Scream Queens, even though I will straight up say it's problematic. Mm-hmm. It's fucking hilarious. The first like episode or two, I think, has Ariana Grande, and then later on they have Nick Jonas playing a gay character, and Billie Lourd is like questioning her sexuality in the whole thing, and ends up kind of like having a little tryst with a butch Asian character who's I love to death. I love that whole character, even though she was kind of plain. And it was very short-lived, but just a little bit of it was amazing. So I would say watch the first season just for entertainment, because I think it was hilarious. It was also problematic. I'm not gonna go into details because I don't have any time. But Scream Queen season two was horrible. Don't even touch it. Like, don't even look at it. Like, don't, because he like, I don't know, he tried something new with that show where he like,
what,
he kept the same people being the same characters.
What, he never does that,
right? But he did it this time, but it failed. I think it got canceled after the second season because it was trash. They brought in Taylor Lautner and John Stamos, and it was no good.
That's unnecessary.
It was it was trash. I think it kind of does the same thing that all of his shows do, where the last couple episodes are like boring and unnecessary and it doesn't end up well. But the first few episodes, you're just like, this shit is hilarious. And it was like, I think this whole show was really just made for Emma Roberts.
He loves her,
and I used to love her too.
I'm not really into her anymore.
That love fizzled out. But I used to be like, I was really into like the fourth, the fourth Scream movie.
Didn't even know there was a fourth Scream movie.
Yeah, so. Dude. Like, and it has it has some of the original people in it. Like, I think Courtney Cox is in it, and what's her face, and Emma Roberts is in it. I fucking still loved it. I don't know why. Yeah. So I was
okay,
really into
it. You might have sold me with the Courtney Cox thing. I'm like, wait a minute.
Like,
what?
They bring
Monica's
in
this bitch again?
They bring in the original Damn. Characters and, like, and yeah, they continue the storyline, and it's got kind of a twist to it. Like, it's a twist that's getting kind of old, but it was one of the, but it was one of the first ones to do it at the time. So,
that's true. Very true.
So that's why I was kind of into Emma Roberts, and that kind of, honestly, the Scream Queens, Emma Roberts was almost the same exact person as the Scream for Emma Roberts, which I really think that's why I liked it. Yeah, I mean, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And so, I know you, so I don't know if you want to, like, briefly go over American Crime Story. I know you said you fucking love that OJ shit.
I love that OJ shit. I don't really want to get into it because it's not very queer, and it's just really about history and politics repeating itself, and Kardashians, which I give no fucks about, and American culture, that's just where we are again. I feel like the 90s and now aren't very different. Like, early 90s, late 80s, like, shitty times in America continue. Like, just go watch it. It was really good. It's a really, not, and you don't even have to watch it. You can just watch a documentary on it, and you just find out history repeats itself. I'm not even going to comment on, I'm not going to rate it. Just go watch it.
Oh, ratings. So, American Horror Story Cult.
How many cafecitos? Two?
Two.
Two.
No, 1.5.
1.5?
Yeah. What you got for conchas?
I got, like, two conchas.
Maybe. 2 out of 5? Fuck. Like, I don't, like, I'm not judging that. I'm just like, damn, that's the lowest you've ever given anything.
Yeah, because it's Ryan Murphy. It's like, it's not
it's
for
a
me.
Fucking,
you know?
Purge ripoff, honestly.
It's
in
a purge
my
ripoff,
eyes.
And it's like, I don't want to watch more stories about, like, white, naive, suburban America. And I don't want to watch more migrant workers, like, just be migrant workers. I don't want to watch housekeepers just be housekeepers. They're humans. They're not objects. They're not here for your white, liberal bullshit to make you feel better. No. Fuck that. I want their stories. So, two.
I want their real stories. Oh, speaking of, Gina Rodriguez is, like, producing a show about undocumented immigrants, and I am.
Shout out to that.
Oh my god,
I
cannot fucking wait to see that. Like, I think it's going to be so beautiful.
She's in with that.
The one where she does, like, the side shade?
Yes. I'm so ready for that. Oh, but, anyways, yeah, and then all the horror stories. One concha.
Fucking cafecito per episode, dude. Like, I can't. And maybe
two
even more.
Cafecitos per episode. Maybe. Towards the end of any season, it's like three.
Like, I'm probably going to overdose on caffeine.
Yeah. And for me, it's like one concha, and that's like a lot of conchas. Britannia, five conchas. Five conchas forever. Five panduces forever.
0.5 of a cafecito for me, because I was pissed off at a few things.
Oh, nah. Yeah. I didn't expect much back then, so I'm going to stick with it. And I still don't expect much. So.
I do.
Five for Britannia. But when you watch it in an episode, they're the reason they get one concha.
Just watch their scenes only, dude, like on YouTube.
Yeah.
Bam.
Don't watch the show. It's trash. Or watch it for Mercedes singing and Harry Shum's dancing. Everyone else can go fly off of them.
Speaking of American Horror Story, real quick, it's coming off of Netflix soon, so you're going to have to go elsewhere for that.
Couch Tuner. Anyways.
Couch Tuner. Sponsor
us. Just Google it. Just exit out of the pop-ups. Anyways. yeah, I think that wraps up today's episode. We
very
love
long episode.
Follow us on the tweeters on
yeah
Instagram.
So, like, lately on Twitter, because there's a lot going on with these hurricanes, there's a lot going on with this whole DACA situation. Mm-hmm. We're trying our best to, like, stay keep informing people on our Twitter, keep informing people on our Instagram, and so follow that CYC podcast.
Yeah.
And our Snapchat, which we don't go on there that much, because there's not that many of you on there. If there was more of you, then we would go on there more. But yeah. Snapchat as well, CYC Podcast.
You can DM any of the Instagram, the tweets. We are always open and available.
Let us know what your thoughts are.
Send your hate mail to cycpodcastmail@gmail.com.
And more importantly, tell us if you have a character that you think is queer and wasn't canonically queer in a show or movie or any type of media, so we can talk about it on
or
the show.
Want, yeah, anyone you want to be queer.
And finally, most importantly, rate us and review us on iTunes.
5 stars.
And if you leave us a review, we will send you a sticker if you DM us. Go watch YouTube videos for California Love 84. It's a really good escape.
It's
at least
amazing
it has
escape.
Been for me.
And she has the best reactions to literally everything. I watched all of them.
Yeah, I've seen way too much.
The best.
And
yeah, we love y'all. Bye.
Cue the really soft outro music.
Soft outro indie music.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.